Hello, I'm Craig Isherwood, leader of the Citizens Electoral Council. In response to Prime Minister Kevin Rudd's statement this week that protectionism is intrinsically evil, I have to ask the question, whom does he really serve? Our Prime Minister is presently travelling to the April G20 conference in London via the United States, proclaiming that the world must stick with free trade and resist the pressure to revert to the evil of protectionism. This crusade by Mr. Rudd is virtual treason to Australia's interests. Look at what his free trade policies have done to the Australian economy. From World War II to the mid-1980s, our country was an advanced industrial economy. More than 40% of our economy was made up of primary and secondary industry, including advanced manufacturing and machine tool production capability. This made Australia a high-skill, high-wage economy, and it was achieved under policies of heavy protectionism thanks to great leaders like Labor's John Curtin and Ben Chifley and Country Party leader John Blackjack McEwen. Mr. Rudd is calling their policies intrinsically evil. After more than 20 years of free trade, what do we have now? Despite the boom in mining, our agro-industrial base has shrunk to less than 20% of the total economy, most of the collapse being in manufacturing and agriculture. Because we have increasingly imported what we once produced ourselves, our national foreign debt has exploded from $40 billion in 1983 to $1.2 trillion today. In the face of this crisis, Mr. Rudd has conjured up enormous amounts of money in order to save jobs, he claims. But what he refuses to do is back away from the free trade policies which are destroying those jobs. Two sectors of what's left of Australian manufacturing, the car industry and the clothing industry, are on the verge of collapse because the government is cutting their tariff protection. Mr. Rudd announced more than $1 billion in assistance for the car industry, but refused to stop the tariff cuts. For every job that's lost in a car factory, between 6 to 9 other jobs are lost in the supply chain. So if you really want to save those jobs, Mr. Rudd, stop cutting the tariffs. More recently, he could have saved all 1,850 Pacific brand workers whose jobs, manufacturing clothes and underwear, were cut, following a company decision to shift that manufacturing to China. The decision was forced by government tariff cuts. Tariff cuts on clothing are currently 17.5%. Next year they'll drop to 10%, and in 2015 they're going to drop to just 5%. All of his pretend outrage at executive salaries does not change the fact that he could have easily stopped all those jobs by stopping the tariff cuts. In early March, the Rudd government announced it would allow bananas from the Philippines to be imported into Australia. This will not only destroy our domestic banana industry, which is worth $350 million and employs 5,000 people, and is more than adequate to supply Australia's banana needs, but it is an unacceptable risk to our nation's biosecurity, which is largely free from the plant diseases of other continents. And just this week, the Rudd government announced the Productivity Commission would review our national anti-dumping laws with the intent to weaken or scrap them. These laws stop goods being sold in Australia for less than it costs to make them in the country that they came from. Reportedly, this was to demonstrate Rudd's free trade credentials in the lead-up to the April G20 conference. Australia's economy is being sacrificed to a global agenda called free trade. And therefore, the answer to the question, whom does Rudd serve, is that he is a toady for the interests behind global free trade, the British Empire. Now, what do I mean by British Empire? The British Empire, which ruled the world from the mid-1700s to the mid-1800s, was a privately run corporation centred in the city of London called the East India Company. Its own private army, for instance, numbered 200,000, dwarfing that of the British government itself. Its stock in trade was slavery, drugs, particularly opium, tea and sugar. But its enormously profitable, buy cheap, sell dear business model was dependent upon total free trade. Any attempt by sovereign governments to protect their nations from the slave trading and dope pushing East India Company was met with military force. One of the most famous cases was the two opium wars the company waged against China in 1839 and in 1856, when the Chinese emperor tried to stop the company dumping the opium that was destroying China's culture and its people. Queen Victoria justified these wars by citing the principle of free trade. Today, the British Empire is no longer a territorial empire run from England. Rather, it is a financial empire, centred in the City of London financial centre, with satellites in Wall Street, Amsterdam, Zurich, and other financial centres. But, just like the East India Company, this modern financial British empire is totally dependent upon free trade, which today is called globalisation. This privately run international financial empire only has power so long as national governments do not restrict it through protectionist measures like financial regulations and trade tariffs and so forth. As a financial centre, the City of London is far larger than Wall Street and it runs the British government, not the other way around. It is the worldwide headquarters for speculation and drug money laundering, together with its offshore satellites in tax havens such as the Cayman Islands, where most of the world's hedge funds are located. From these protected havens, outside the reach of national governments, hedge funds have wreaked havoc on the world economy through derivatives trading and currency speculation. It is Britain's protection of these parasitical hedge funds and similar practices that has allowed the build-up of a $1.4 quadrillion global derivatives bubble, which in turn has caused the global financial crisis. Now, by denouncing protectionism and fanatically pushing free trade, Mr. Rudd is defending this parasitical system. He is sacrificing his own nation for the greater glory of the British Empire. If the world economy is to emerge from this crisis and avoid plunging into a new dark age, these derivatives must be cancelled and the hedge funds shut down. National governments must reassert whatever financial regulations are necessary to rein in useless speculative gambling in their financial systems and implement protective tariffs to foster industries that produce real wealth and jobs. In other words, we must go back to the very protectionism which built this country in the first place. American statesman and physical economist Lyndon LaRouche has called for nations to convene a new Bretton Woods conference, led by the four great powers of the United States, China, India and Russia, to bury globalization once and for all by negotiating agreements to put the world economy through bankruptcy reorganization, which will include writing off the derivatives and cleaning out the tax havens and their hedge funds, and instead instituting national banking systems which will invest in large-scale infrastructure and international infrastructure projects and increased industrial production. If Australia is to survive, it is up to us, the Australian people, to fight for these policies based on fostering the development of nation states and raising the living standards of their peoples, instead of the evil looting policies of British free trade. If Mr. Rudd insists on working for the British agenda, then he may as well go and live in London, where the British government already pay him handsomely through his wife's privatised welfare business.